This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Alondra Villarreal is producing, and signature support comes from Brian Lowe Financial, and we're visiting with one Kevin Cope. 10 years he was head of the LSU Faculty Senate, and now he is a professor of renown at Louisiana State University. He soon will be celebrating his 37th year on campus, PhD from Harvard University. And Dr. Cope is here to talk about a few matters, but the king is gone, as in King Alexander. F. King Alexander has hightailed it to Corvallis, Oregon. What do you make of this?
On one level, this is completely predictable, because in the United States, unfortunately, thanks to the influence of the executive search firms and other sorts of vanities, the average lifespan of assistant president is about, 5.5, 6 years. So actually, King has outlived his time. On the other hand, of course, Louisiana is an intensely political place. And on top of that, there are plenty of problems going down at LSU and across the LSU system. So it was almost certain that before there were too many moons passing, King Alexander would move on, if not to greener pastures, at least to where the hay is a little bit higher.
Hey, 877-217-5757. As you say, it's usually a job in which people last just a few years. In fact, Jim Morton was only there 7 years as chancellor. And I view this position more as chancellor than as president, because most of the attention is about the flagship university. He's the first to have the dual responsibility. Do you think that's a good thing?
It started out being a good idea, because we thought we were going to imitate places like Ohio State, University of Texas. Unfortunately, I think that it's actually backfired, because what's happened is that the campuses have become more isolated from one another. The LSU campus is sort of like a big diesel engine set on high idle, providing the economic momentum to keep the rest of them going. The others are, to change metaphors here, sort of like small moons orbiting a big planet that they never actually visit. So I have a high degree of skepticism about the supposed consolidation.
Well, King Alexander has gone to Corvallis, Oregon. Some would view that as a lateral move. Mike Martin, his predecessor, said LSU is the most political place on the planet. Do politics often interfere with leadership at the flagship university?
I think that the leadership at the flagship university is completely subordinate to politics. Sometimes there are people in both the system office and on the campuses who have good intentions, but one is always up against this great bulwark of political influence there. That is one thing that could change, no matter which system we choose, whether LSU is a central campus or if we've got a system president or don't. What we really need is more independence in the universities.
877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Dr. Kevin Cope, one of our favorite guests, is in studio. 37 years at the Old War School, native of San Diego, went to Harvard for his PhD, master's, I believe, as well.
That's right.
Expert on Beowulf and professional wrestling, a man of immense interests. And some would say it must be really, really bad for King Alexander, or he would not have left with LSU at the brink of a national championship in football, and he resigned the day before Joe Burrow won the Heisman Trophy. He could have been in New York celebrating.
I think that, once again, with your amazing intuition, Jim, you have figured out that there must have been something going on before all of these purportedly
really
happy events happened.
Well, he got in the crossfire with one Richard Lipsey, and Richard Lipsey's a big man in this community.
Crossfire is a good metaphor, considering that the party you mentioned happens to be an arms merchant, and also somebody who presents himself as an advocate for liberal ideas. That's a paradox that you could explore on another program. But on the other hand, we welcome the commentary of anybody who wants to make intelligent comments about Louisiana higher education. And I think that a number of the comments that Mr. Lipsey made were spot on.
Well, I don't think he would enjoy being called a liberal. Richard Lipsey is a card-carrying conservative Republican, although he did support Governor John Bel Edwards, and he did not support King Alexander.
Well, I would say that anybody in this state who is favorable on some level, even how deep a level that might be, is rather more progressive than a lot of folks out there, including those who are the head of Trump campaigns.
Well, the president advocated this holistic admissions approach. Do you think that's a good idea?
I think that that controversy has been a little bit overblown because, in fact, every university in the United States of any size has to do that. And what's at the root of that problem is that the taxpayers, in not voting for legislators who support higher education, have forced universities to chase after students and tuition. This changes the character of universities. They're no longer really aspiring to think the greatest thoughts or do the best research, but rather to get people in the door to pay tuition at the academic cash register.
Well, King Alexander, a native of Kentucky, he'd moved around. He'd been in Murray State, University of California system, in Long Beach, and now LSU 6.5 years, and off to Corvallis, Oregon. That's not unusual in the world of higher education. And perhaps a sign that he was not really totally invested in Louisiana was in a Tiger Rag story that ran last month. He's only voted in 5 of 19 elections when he was here. I bet you have a better record than that.
I believe, of course, your research staff frightens me. You'll probably find some deficit in my record as well. However, I can affirm that I've got a better record than, what would that be? That's about 25%, 24%. I've got a better record than that. Now, of course, this points out that in the upper reaches of higher education, change is, again, the rule even emotionally. Look at your typical coach. That is, typical coach is hired, puts on a cap for whichever school, Oregon, Nebraska, you name it. Then 3 years go by, hired again someplace else after having gotten booted, puts on another cap and declares that I am committed forever to the Cornhuskers or some such thing. Well, that's exactly what happened with King Alexander. That is, 2 days after being 100% committed to Louisiana, he's saying, I believe the newspaper quoted, go Beavs.
Go Beavs. Well, King Alexander is off to the races. He did not vote in the October 12th primary, by the way, for governor, and he was probably looking. I have a feeling that this just didn't materialize overnight.
Nothing like this materializes overnight, and indeed it's been going for a couple of years. You know, let's go back to the previous administration, that of John Lombardi. John Lombardi was given a 2-year contract extension, and everybody said he'll be here forever. But, of course, these extensions are often the beginning of the period of evaluation or the period of controversy, if you will. So these controversies surrounding the LSU president really started a couple of years ago, most saliently with the crisis over the Greek life institutions, but there have been a few other mishaps as well. Take, for example, the lazy river over there at the recreational center.
Well, that wasn't King Alexander's doing, though. That was student body that voted for that $85 million boondoggle.
In every institution, the chief executive is the person at whom the buck stops and will take credit no matter what happens.
He took credit for the beauty of it, which it is, but I think that vote occurred before he was even president and chancellor. So let's not put that one on. But this fraternity stuff, that did happen on his watch. Could he have done anything to avert what happened?
He made the right first step after it happened. Probably could not have averted it. But he did create a panel to look into Greek life. Unfortunately, because of the political influence that you cited, maybe a certain amount of political sagesse on his part, he decided not to enforce it especially hard. And lo and behold, the trouble started coming on again.
Patrick in Innisfail States. Patrick, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with Dr. Kevin Cope.
Hey, this figurehead position, it really seems like an overpaid, do-nothing position. Is it really necessary to pay someone like millions of dollars to basically do nothing? I mean, can we hire like one of the professors to run the university, someone that has experience with LSU or someone local? I mean, I don't see the need to pay some hotshot who comes here and does nothing and then moves on somewhere else in 5 years.
All right, I think doing nothing would be an exaggeration. But and the job doesn't pay millions of dollars a year. It's about a $700,000 a year gig with a nice house that the king did not use. But he makes about 7 times what you make, Kevin Cope. Do you resent that?
Well, I don't know if resentment is the word, because I don't want to give the LSU administration that much emotional power over me. But I don't like it. That's correct. And although the last caller turned, I think, a little bit to an underappreciated form of satire, there's a certain truth to what he says. That is, nobody is quite sure what the LSU system exactly does, other than a combination of creating obstacles and mixing it up in politics. Now, we do need people to advocate for us at the legislature, but I agree that the first thing we need to do is come up with a mission statement for the LSU system.
Well, the process is such that the Board of Supervisors will make the ultimate choice, and the leading candidate, I think the person who can get the job, if he wants it, is Jay Darden, who used to be on the Board of Supervisors as a student member when he was student body president back in the year of 1978 when I was a freshman and he was in law school. What do you think of Jay Darden becoming president and chancellor of LSU?
Well, Jay Darden is a nice guy. Of course, you as a sports commentator, Jim, know what position nice guys often finish in, but we don't have any beef with him per se. However, there are a couple of other problems. First of all, is that the reflex at the start of this whole discussion was not to say, how will we search for the best possible candidate, but instead, what local boy just around the block is going to be the best fit? That kind of parochialism needs to go. The second problem is, although the search is apparently being headed by a female member of the Board of Supervisors, we didn't hear anything about the empowering of female candidates or any kind of gender diversity, nor do we have any minorities in this candidate. Heck, I mean, Kamala Harris is out there. She's out of work. Maybe we can get her.
She's a U.S. Senator last time I checked.
Well, John Bolton's out. All U.S. senators are out of work.
You're
if you believe what the public says about their...
Rudy Giuliani might be available, too. But I don't think he's going to be on the short list.
With online connections, you can do it from prison. At any rate, we've got that problem. We didn't have any diversity of any kind in the pool. And the third problem is that any university with any level of respect immediately figures out how to do an international search, not ask the question, well, who's down there on Third Avenue or who's up there at the big state house who might come in and fill the bill?
Well, sometimes... In-house moves are good. Coach O is an example of that. And athletic director Skip Bertman was the baseball coach. He was chosen. Most people believe he did a pretty good job. But we'll return, spend a few more minutes with Kevin Cope, and then we'll hear from Brian Shaw. Big night coming at the Manship Theater. We're back after this brief pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana in the home stretch with Kevin Cope. And on deck is Brian Shaw, the incomparable musician, LSU music professor, and big show coming in, well, one night at the Manship Theater. That's tomorrow night. But Larry Bankston, the former state senator, says the most important job in dealing with the legislature for the LSU president chancellor. Jay is best suited for the job. Larry Bankston, the man who beat him for a state senate seat in 1987, Jay Darden's first political foray that did not go well, but he certainly rebounded well. He was a Metro councilman, state senator, secretary of state, lieutenant governor, commissioner of administration, and perhaps soon to be president of LSU, and that would have him well positioned if he chose to run for governor in 2023. He ran unsuccessfully in 2015, but Jay Darden seems to be the people's choice right now. And Kevin Cope, he has a law degree, does not have that PhD. Is that a necessity in your mind?
It depends on what kind of law degree it is. It depends on whether a law degree is oriented towards, say, the history of law or the theory of justice, or on the other hand, personal
law
injury.
For many years, successfully.
Yeah, I don't know. But I want to say something about the comment that you cited, that is, being popular and being familiar with the system is not exactly the same thing as being the best qualified or being capable of reform.
Well, that brings me to King Alexander. He was under censure. And by the way, I think he did a good job on the whole. But he was under censure for the last 5 years by the faculty, and that was when you were leading the faculty senate. You censured him, and maybe he deserved it for firing a professor who was using vulgarity in the classroom. Well, you made a good point, I thought, in that if that's your standard, that you cannot use vulgarity around students, then what happens to Coach O?
It looks like Coach O may be in a little bit of hot water, or maybe he's going to have to move to where the other O is, that is up to Oregon. So your point is exactly right. That is to say, this is an enormous case of hypocrisy.
Well, Kevin Cope has told me that he does the New York Times mini crossword puzzle every morning, although he did not do it this morning, I don't think, because he knew that I might ask him a few questions about it. But he said, you know, Frenchie and I work on this at Louis's in the morning. It usually takes about 5 minutes. Sometimes we do it in two or three. But you say you've done it in 38 seconds?
That was my peak performance, 38 seconds, and that's held in the archives there at the New York Times. They record everything, so they know if you want to check it out.
Really? You do it online?
Yeah, I use it on the cell phone app.
38 seconds.
Yeah, it instantly gives you your performance and records it in their database.
Okay, well, spades, hearts, diamonds, or clubs, four letters.
Suits. Suit.
Okay. Beats me, five letters.
Beats me. I forgot that one, but I've got my cell phone here. I can take a look.
So you have done it.
Yeah. I did it last night.
Okay. All right.
For me, morning begins at 10 p.m.
Well, I'm an old-fashioned guy. I've got the hard copy here. Here's an easy one. Colorado Ski Resort. Five
Aspen.
Letters. Okay. That's an easy one.
I remember that one.
Frodo and Bilbo's home.
Oh, gosh, that's after my time and above my pay grade.
Okay. Shire is the answer.
Shire, right.
Okay. All right. Well, I can see how you would be formidable on this. Kevin Cope has stated that he has been tested, and he is officially a genius. So keep up the good work at LSU.
Thank you, Jim.
Thank you, sir. And we're joined by another genius of sorts, a musical genius in Brian Shaw. And for the eighth consecutive year, a program that began in the summertime at LSU at the music school is now on stage at the Manship Theater. Instead of hot summer nights, it's cold winter nights and hot jazz. And Brian Shaw, congratulations on keeping it going.
Thanks, Jim. And we still do the summer series, by the way.
I know.
We just added it on.
The summer series is now in its 24th year, something like that.
Getting up there. Yeah, I think Bill Grimes started that back in the late 80s.
Maybe longer, maybe longer. But
my
Bill Grimes
math isn't as good as your crossword puzzle.
Well, okay. I'm still trying to absorb this 38-second deal, but anyway. But tomorrow night, Bill Grimes, the aforementioned, now retired professor at LSU, he'll be on stage with you, right?
That's right. Bill and our newest Boyd professor in the School of Music, Willis Deloney, will be with us, and two great singers as well, Father Greg Daigle and Sasha Mazikowski.
And they've been with you before.
Yes, that's right. Now, Sasha's been with us, I guess, maybe about 5 years or so. But Father Greg's been with us since the very beginning, 8 years ago.
Well, it'll be quite a performance at the Manship Theater. Brian Shaw, Greg Daigle, Sasha Mazikowski, Bill Grimes, and Willis Deloney. And it all starts when?
We start tonight, actually, 7:30 at the Manship.
You're doing it tonight as
that's
well?
That's right. We've got tonight and tomorrow.
Oh, so you got two nights.
That's
so
right.
I didn't know that. So you're warming up as we speak.
We are, yeah. That's right. We had a great rehearsal last night with the band, and they sound terrific. So it's going to be
good. Brian is the Julian and Sidney Carruth Associate Professor of Trumpet and Jazz Studies at LSU. That's a long title.
It is. It doesn't fit on an email.
And visiting professor of Baroque Trumpet Studies at the Eastman School of Music.
Right, and I go up there every semester and do a little work.
And a native of Illinois, you started playing the trumpet when you were in the front row of a Maynard Ferguson concert? Is that how it's
began? That's when my religious experience started, I guess you could say. But I was I was in sixth grade then, but I started in fourth grade and was really, really terrible for a long time.
What turns it around?
I think being inspired to practice, you know, it takes, you know, the mythical 10,000 hours to master anything. And I think you have to be dedicated enough to endure all the hours and hours where you really sound bad.
Well, tomorrow night, some of the selections, and tonight, both nights, two nights, if you want to see the jazz on cold winter nights, hot jazz, what's some of the music that we'll hear?
So we always feature both of the singers, a lot of standard tunes like Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas and things like Oh Holy Night, Let It Snow, God Rest You Merry Gentlemen, tunes that everybody knows.
Okay, well, our producer, Alondra Villarreal, has a selection that Brian Shaw, I think, chose for her, and this is a sampling of what we will hear tonight, tomorrow night at the Manship Theater. Annual Cool Winter Nights Hot Jazz featuring Brian Shaw, Greg Daigle, Sasha Mazikowski, Bill Grimes, and Willis Deloney. These LSU bios that are provided, sometimes they're outdated. Kevin Copes is outdated, by the way. But yours says, that you will be performing at Carnegie Hall. Have you already done that?
That is an outdated bio. That was actually last year. I played with the English Concert, a wonderful Baroque group.
At Carnegie Hall?
That's right, yeah.
So this is a guy who's an amazing performer in his own right. Also, right. You performed as a featured soloist with the American Musicological Society, right?
That's right. Yeah, they give an annual conference and had a big concert of the music of Michael Haydn. I played a concerto by him.
You played with some great people, Branford Marsalis being one.
Absolutely.
Who are some of the notables that are most memorable?
Aretha Franklin. I think we talked about that a couple of times ago. Aretha was probably the biggest name that I'd ever played with, and of course Branford was a lot of fun.
And for those who missed the Aretha story, how did that evolve?
Well, I was an undergrad at Eastern Illinois University at the time, and she was coming as sort of the big featured guest that year to Eastern, and did two concerts with she brought most of her own band, was sort of the skeleton, and then they filled in with some students and local players. And so I just happened to be able to get to do that, and I got to play Respect with Aretha Franklin, which is one of those things you'll never forget.
Now, in your LSU bio, it says Brian Shaw is proud to be a Yamaha performing artist.
Right. Yeah, and so I was one of the people. There's lots of trumpet players that play Yamaha, and so we endorse that company. Yeah.
So what do you get from Yamaha?
I think a little discount on instruments, and they also will...
You don't walk around with a lot of Yamaha...
It's not race car driving. No, it's not quite that intense. But I do get to enjoy, I needed an instrument at a gig, and they provided a brand new flugelhorn for me to play. So, you know, things like that, that's nice to have that connection with the company.
And through the years, in the summer series and in this one, you've had some amazing vocalists. So I know the two people who will be involved this time, Greg Daigle, Sasha Mosakowski, you really like a lot. But who are some of those memorable vocalists you've been on the stage with, independent of Aretha Franklin?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we did a concert at summer. Some of the listeners might have been there for Jewel Brown, who's the last surviving member of Louis Armstrong's All-Stars. And she is just walking, living history. Had the offer to play or to sing with Duke Ellington and Louis Armstrong at the very same time. And she's a really sassy older woman, and told me that she had chosen Louis Armstrong because the group was smaller, so she thought she'd get paid more.
Well, you can go to manshiptheater.org and find out more about
that's right.
possibilities for tonight. 325 front row seats at the Manship Theater tonight and tomorrow night. And Brian Shaw will be there, the gentleman we're hearing. A publication called Early Music America says Shaw's tone is beautiful. His playing is unfailingly musical. His is a voice that will make a major mark on Baroque trumpet playing. So congratulations on your continuing success. Started when you were in the sixth grade?
Fourth grade.
Fourth grade. Yeah. Yeah. Fourth grade. So it's been a few years.
It has been a few years. More than I can count right now. But yeah.
Still have that baby face. So
oh, well,
I suspect you'll keep going for a little while longer. And you've been at LSU how long now?
This is my 13th year. Just finished. Yeah.
Dr. Brian Shaw. And thank you. Congratulations. And hopefully you'll have a full house. I'm sure you will at the Manship Theater tonight and tomorrow night. Thanks, Brian.
Thank you, Jim.
Signature support for Talk Louisiana comes from Brian Lowe Financial. And thanks for listening and stay tuned.